Blog Talk Radio.
Into the studio on tonight. I am glad that you could join me. I am excited on tonight as I am every night, specifically on Thursday nights. I just get excited. I am excited And I don't know how many of you are excited with me, excited about the God that we serve, excited about the things that are being done. We can always focus on all the negative things that's been done in the earth. We see it day to day. Every time we cut on our television, every time we take a remote and we flip through channels, all we see is negative, 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 25 negatives to every positive. And we get consumed with that stuff. And I'm so excited because guess what? I want to focus not on the 25 negatives, but I want to put all my focus on the one positive. I want to put all my focus on what God is doing. You know, because we run around town talking about, ooh, you know what the enemy's doing? Ooh, did you see what the enemy did? Oh, the enemy is doing this. Ooh, the enemy is doing this. And we constantly talking about what the enemy is doing, what the devil is doing, what evil is doing. But guess what? We serve a God that's bigger than all that. And what is God doing? What is God doing in the earth while we see all this other stuff? What is he doing in your life? What is he doing in my life? What is he doing in the world? Is it not written, some of these things that we see manifesting? Is it not written in his word? Isn't this not his word, his prophetic word coming to fruition? So why are we, as believers, spending more time worrying and fearing and murmuring and complaining about what's going on in the world than we are doing praying and giving thanksgiving unto a God, unto our God, a God that's faithful, a God that's true and just. His word, the word of God says, he tells us, if there be any, and I'm paraphrasing, if there be any confusion, if there be any doubt, if there be any trouble, think on these things, whatsoever things are honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report. Think on those things. And I know it's hard to think on those things when you have war around you, when you see the things that's going on in the world. But I'm going to encourage you. And tonight's show is going to tell us how we could just plug into a unlimited supply of energy. If you missed out on last week's show, don't worry. Because I believe that this word was good for last week, but I believe it's good for this week too. Why God is having me do it again, why I'm inclined to doing this word again, I'm just going to do it again. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to do it again because somebody needs to hear this word. I needed to hear it because I'm telling you, you could get drained. It's literally like you have a plug, and that plug comes out of the outlet, and you find life. In life's situations and circumstances, you find the cares of this world causing you to be weak and weary. I mean, weak and weary. And I'm saying this because when we get weak and weary mentally and emotionally and spiritually, it can't help but affect our body physically. Our bodies begin to shut down. Our bodies begin to get sick. Our immune systems begin to drop. And I want us to know that everything is spiritual first, natural second. So if things start shutting down with you spiritually, you're going to experience it in the natural. If you're going through something spiritually, unrest, unease, you're going to eventually experience it in the natural, in your body, in your mind. So I want us to learn how to battle this battle because it is a warfare. We are in spiritual warfare. There is a war going on in the heavenlies. It's written. It's speaking. We already know the end of the story. So that's our hope. Our hope is the end of the story. We know that we won. We got the victory. We won this battle. So that is our hope. One of the things I want to make is an analogy, and this analogy came to me. We all, some of us haven't, but I'm going to speak. In all my life, I probably had one experience where I lived somewhere that was infested with roaches. I was about 30 years old, and I had lived on my own since I was 17, but I was 30 years old, and what I found myself at 30 years old, I was living in an apartment. In Orange County, California, if anybody that's in California know about Orange County, that's elite, or it used to be elite. And I had lived out of state, moved back home, and I moved to Orange County. I'm moving to Orange County, and I get this apartment, and I'm living in this apartment, nice apartment, gated. And within probably a month of living in my apartment, I start seeing these things. And for me, it was a shock because I was always thought and taught and believed that roaches was connected with filth. So, of course, when I begin to see these roaches, it just freaked me out. I'm frustrated. I'm feeling some kind of way. And I'm trying to fight the battle. And if any of you had to fight the battle of roaches, you know they multiply. If you see one, it's a million, and they keep coming. And you try all these different techniques and to get rid of them. And if you know anything about apartment living, you don't have to be the person who's the producer of the roaches, but the roaches come. Anyway, I'm saying all that to say that more recently, God gave me the analogy that roaches attract to mess, that roaches attract to dirt, to a dirty house, an unclean house. They may come in a clean house, but they can't stay long. And I'm saying this to us, that when drama began to come in your life, around your life, and you find that every time you turn around, there's some drama. And I'm not talking about the drama outside in the outside world that we look at and see with the shootings and the killings and this and husbands and wives. I'm talking about the drama that affects our lives directly. Drama is like roaches. It's going to attract to a dirty house. So when your life starts being very dramatic, when you start seeing all these things, dramas coming, I would say the first thing for me is that I'm going to check my house. I want to check my house. I want to see how my heart is. I want to see what's going on with me internally, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, because I want to find out. I'm not going to blame other people. I'm not going to be the victim, but I want to do a self-evaluation because I want to find out what's going on with Coach D that is attracting these roaches. Why are these roaches coming to my house? Why am I being exposed to these roaches? What is it that, what have I left out? What have I gave my attention to? What have I opened myself up to that's drawing this roaches? Now, even as I said that, I heard in my spirit somebody saying, well, that's not quite true because sometimes you could get this and you could get that and it may not have anything to do with you. And that could be, but that's the exception to the rule. When you got drama coming, you need to do a self-evaluation and you need to find out, even if that self-evaluation is simply, you need to remove yourself from these people or these places or these things. They may be that simple. That you've allowed yourself to get dirty because of your associations, your affiliations, places that you're going to, places that you're hanging out at, friends, family. You may have just exposed yourself to that, and it could be simply that you need to remove yourself so that you're no longer subjected to what's going on with these people who have issues going on. Amen? Well, I'm going to get on tonight's show because that's not tonight's show, but I felt like I need to share that. Hopefully somebody needed to hear that. So I'm going to get on to tonight's show, and tonight we're going to be talking about renewable energy. And it's so amazing, and if you bear with me and if you listen to it and you really get it, you're going to get it. It's a powerful word. God gave it to me, and I believe that when God gives you or God gives me or God gives somebody else a revelation in the word, it is not ours to keep. It's God's. So when we have testimony or revelation, we are to share that because it's not ours to keep. And just as it blessed us, believe me, it's going to bless somebody else because God blesses us to be a blessing. Amen. So I want to be a blessing on tonight to you all that's listening in, and I really truly pray that this word is a blessing to you. Father, we just thank you on tonight. We thank you, Father, that you have a rhema word. We thank you, Lord, for the revelation of your word, Father God, for we know that you do not have to reveal. We thank you that you are in this place on tonight, and we submit freely to your movement, Father God. We submit freely to your word, to the revelation of your word, And Father God, we thank you that you have given us wisdom on tonight, that we could take this tangible word and that we could move forward on it, Father. Father God, that we could apply it into our lives. And Father God, that we could be a blessing to others with the very word that we were blessed with. So Father, we just say thank you. We thank you. You are welcome into this place. We now die to self, that your spirit will rise up. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I was sharing with you, we're going to get on to renewable energy. And if you bear with me, some parts of this, if you're not a technical person, it could get kind of gestalt. It could be all over the place. It could be a little confusing. It could get frustrated. But I'm begging you, if you will, please, just be obedient, be diligent, and hear what the Lord has for you on tonight. First of all, many of us may not know about renewable energy. There's different types of renewable energy. And I could go into all the different types. I could go into the windmill, and I could go into this, and I could go into that. But tonight, the renewable energy option that I would like to choose is the solar energy. Solar energy. And solar energy is produced by the sun's light. Solar energy is a photovoltaic energy, and its warmth, solar thermal, for the generation of electricity or the production of heat. Okay? Inexhaustible and renewable. Since it comes from the sun, solar energy is harnessed using panels and mirrors. Now, stay focused. I need you to get this because there's some buzzwords I'm saying in here that when I get to the middle of this, woohoo, that light bulb's going to pop on in your head and you're going to be like, wow. So, again, solar energy is harnessed, so it's gathered using panels and mirrors. The photovoltaic solar cells convert sunlight, S-U-N, sunlight, directly into electricity by the so-called photovoltaic effect, by which certain materials are able to absorb photons, which are light. Photons are light particles. And it liberates electrons, generating an electric current. On the other hand, solar thermal collectors use the panels that we spoke about, or the mirrors, to absorb and concentrate the sun's heat, transferring it to liquid and conducting it through pipes to use it in buildings and installations and also for electricity production. And that's considered solar thermal electric. Now, Coach D, why are you telling us about solar panels? What's this got to do with God? What's this got to do with me? I'm going to tell you. Just hold on there. So we just described what solar energy is, what that is. We just described it. Now, why? Why is solar energy important? Why is it something that why is it the earth needs solar energy? Why are we starting to see it on houses? Why are we starting to see it everywhere? Why? First of all, in order to utilize solar energy, you have no need for auxiliary. You have no need for auxiliary. Auxiliary is the outlet, the electricity that we use in the walls that we do. Did you know that at any given time, and we know it because we've seen it happen, how many of us have been sitting in the comforts of our home and we've had the lights on to see with, we had our electric stove cooking the food that we eat with, and we're watching the TV that entertains us, and all of a sudden everything goes black. Just as I thought. Everyone that's on this call on tonight has experienced your electricity going out. It's scary. And if you're not prepared with candles or flashlights or some other off-grid item, then it could get very scary. Why am I bringing that up? Because the purpose that you see in solar energy is totally off-grid. Meaning it doesn't need the auxiliary. It's powered by the sun. Amen? It's powered by the sun, and that's where it gathers its energy. It's important because it's renewable energy. solar energy is renewable energy. Renewable energy will never, ever run out. That's what makes it important. It can't be attacked. It's not going to run out. It's powered by a natural source, which is our sun, daylight. Other sources of energy are finite, meaning they're going to go. They're temporary. I mean, they could leave. Our grid system could be attached. All somebody had to do is shoot a missile, shoot the right bomb over here, and it could just knock us totally off grid. We could be totally knocked off of no electricity whatsoever. Renewable energy, solar paneling, that can happen. And some of our natural our energy could be gas. That could eventually go away. We could run out of gas. We see that with the gas stations as the prices increase, decrease. There's been times where the increase is generally justified by the fact that there are other countries that we depend on for our oil. And if we're at war with them, if we're in disagreement with them, if they don't feel like supplying us, then guess what? We have a shortage of fuel. When we have a shortage of fuel, it's called supply and demand. Our prices go up, and that's what we see. We see this constant war at the gas stations, constant war on fuel pricing. So this is why we're getting into natural energy, solar energy, and other natural energies that's generated that will allow us to have a little bit more flexibility because it's never ending, it doesn't run out, and it's there. Solar energy, on the other hand, will never die. It will never die of shining since the sun still, and this is said, according to NASA, that the sun still has 6.5 billion years of life. And because of that, solar technology in some countries have evolved to compete with the conventional sources. Well, that other country is United States. We see it now. Just about every new home that's being built has solar panels on the roof. We actually have people that have solar panels on their home that's selling energy back to the electric company. So we are one of those countries that have evolved that we're competing. Solar energy is competing against our conventional sources, which is like Southern California Gas, SGE, Sempra, all these other electric companies. Solar power is competing with them. Of course, they don't want that to happen because if for us to get into solar power would mean that they would lose their source. Bear with me. We're almost getting done with the technical, but I just want you to see in the natural and understand solar power so I could get to where I need to get. So conventional sources of electricity generation, in just a few decades' time, it will become the major part of sustainable energy systems for the world. We already seeing it happen. It's transitioning. Not only do you have solar panels for your home, I actually am with a company where we have created what we call a solar cold box and a solar water maker that literally takes the condensation out of the air to produce drinking water, totally off grid, all solar powered. We have 20 and 40 foot containers that literally uses solar power to produce auxiliary. So people could plug into these 20 and 40 foot containers to get electricity. Not only that, these 20 and 40 foot containers could get temperatures as low as below zero to create a freezer or refrigeration or controlled temperature control. So pharmaceutical products, fruits, vegetables, meat, poultry, whatever, can literally be frozen and or kept at a certain temperature through these containers that are totally governed by solar power. So it is becoming the way of the world. It is going to be in another couple of decades, that's what you're going to see. Pretty soon we'll see cars driving down the road because they are powered by solar panels. And we see it even in cities. We see in cities they're making street lights and Everything is solar panel now. Many of you probably see that. And so this is going to lead me to where we're going. Amen. Now that we understand what solar power is, now that we understand the importance of it, and now that we could relate to in our own lives, in our own cities, we've seen solar, so we could relate. When I say solar now, you could think, oh, yeah, that's those little black squares on that house, or, oh, yeah, I noticed I seen that on the street light. So now you got a visual, okay? And remember, solar panels are powered through the sunlight, daylight, and it sucks up energy, renewable energy from the sun because of these panels. And these panels have a particular thing in them that draws the sunlight, and it takes all of that sunlight energy and it stores up and it converts to electricity. It converts to power. It's a mirror, and then it speaks of the mirrors, and the mirrors are reflecting the sunlight into these panels. So go with me, if you will. Think of us as being panels. You are a panel, and you are a panel, and you should be a reflection of the sunlight. And I'm not speaking S-U-N, I'm speaking S-O-N. We should be, as believers, if you are a believer. Now, if you're not a believer, I could, you know, understand where this concept just don't work for you. But if you are a believer, we should be panels and a reflection of the sunlight. What are you saying, Coach D? What I'm saying to you is that when we bask in the presence of the sun through word, worship, praise, and prayer, we should begin to get renewed energy. We should begin to get energized. It should begin to fill us up. We should be so full of Him, the Son, in us that we become a very reflection of who He is. Thus, greater is Jesus Christ in me than the evil, the confusion, the drama, the frustration, the stress, the illness, the sickness, and the disease in this world. And that's what we should become. And we can't become that if we're not spending time in the sun. We can't become that if we're not spending time in the Word. We can't become that if we're not spending time in worship and prayer and praise. Because if we're not being renewed. Now, if you remember, I spoke about the street lights that we see now that's solar powered. In the daytime, these lights don't shine. In the daytime, you see nothing from these lights. They just look like ordinary. In essence, generally, we as believers, when things are going good, we are just ordinary people. We are just a person. We are just people. But the problem is, as believers, that's good when things is going good to walk around smiling like everybody else is smiling. But the problem is when them storms come, those dark times. According to these lights, that solar power, because they're spending all day long in the sun, S-U-N, and they're being renewed, they're being energized, they're being restored, they're storing up energy because they know that they have a job ahead of them soon. So during the day, they are connected and they are being recharged by the sun that they're absorbing and soaking from. Likewise, we should be so connected to, we should be so engaged in, we should be so consumed by, we should be so saturated by the sun. Through word, through prayer, through praise, through worship, that when those dark times come, and those dark times will come, I guarantee you, they will come. Because the word of God says he reigns on the just and the unjust. Those dark times will come. When they come, that's when you're supposed to shine. That's when everything on the inside of you that you've been storing up in those daylight hours, or what we may call good times, when everything is going great, when you're getting blessed coming in and blessed coming out, and he's a mighty God and he's a good God, and oh Lord, I trust you. You know the times I'm talking about. See, that's all good when things is going good, when it's daylight hours. But what happened in the night hours when it gets dark and you need to be that shining light, that you need to be that beacon of light that's guiding others through the darkness? Because that's what the street lights do. They, at night, just at dusk, they begin to flicker at dusk. You see them flickering, and by the time nighttime hit, them lights are fully illuminated. They are bright, and they're giving direction because they're lighting up the areas so cars can know where they're going. People walking can know where they're going because they can see. They can see clearly because these lights are giving light to darkness. They're shining light in darkness. So now I know, oh, yes, this is the right street because this light is showing me, oh, yeah, that's the right direction. I better take a right up here. Same thing with us as believers. Because when we're so full of the sun, S-O-N, when nighttime comes, we're supposed to shine bright. We're supposed to shine bright in the dark areas. We're supposed to be a light in the dark, no matter where that dark is. We are supposed to be a light. If we start looking just like the dark, guess what? We just like the dark. We no good to ourselves and nobody else. But when we're shining bright in dark places, I hear people say, well, I don't go there anymore. I don't do that anymore. That's great. But guess what? If I don't go there anymore and I don't go there anymore, then who goes? If you look at the gospel of Jesus Christ didn't hang out at the Hilton. Jesus Christ didn't hang out at the Ritz-Carlton in Newport Beach and Beverly Hills. This is not where Jesus Christ hung out at, because Jesus Christ was among the prostitutes, the robbers, the thieves, the liars, the crackheads. He was around these people. He was beyond the walls. He was out there, and he was ministering. He was a light in darkness. It was something about him that even though he was in the midst of it, he wasn't a part of it, and it was something that made him different. It was something that made him different. What it was the light. Jesus is the light, and the light changes things. Light shines, and it brings exposure to darkness. When those street lights come on at nighttime, it exposed the darkness. Anything around us hiding in the dark, when the light come on, what happened? Exactly. Earlier in the call, I mentioned about roaches, and I said to you, about roaches and how roaches function. And the roaches function, one of the things we know about roaches is oftentimes they'll hide. And when the lights come on, what happens? They scatter. They go everywhere. You know, they just scatter because they don't want to be exposed. Because once they get exposed, what's going to happen? Exactly. They die. They're going to get killed once they get exposed. The enemy works the same way. He works the same way. Darkness works the same way. Even when we was out there in the world, and we all know, we all been there, none of us is perfect. Even when we were in the world, we out there doing our thing. We didn't want to be exposed while we was out there doing whatever your thing was. We didn't want to be exposed. But when you know you was out there doing something you didn't have no business doing, you didn't want to be exposed. You didn't want to be around people who were talking Jesus, that was praying and worshiping. I know I didn't. I know I didn't want to be. I could think of times where I was going out to a party. I'm going out tonight. And I can remember my parents who are, you know, they're ministers. And I can remember my mom would call and say, well, okay. I said, can you come over here? And I'm like, no, I'm on my way out. I already got something to do. Well, just come by and get some food. And I'd be like, oh, okay. And I would go by and get food, and then she would start ministering. She would start preaching. And I could be just like, oh, gosh, I don't need this right now because I got to get over here. It's almost 8 o'clock. I got to get over here. And she would begin to minister. She would begin to let her light shine. So now her light is shining all over my darkness, and I didn't want my darkness exposed. I don't want to hear this. I don't need to be convicted. I don't want to be convicted. But because of who God called me to be, before I even knew who I was, I would get convicted. And oftentimes what would result in that is that because now the light didn't shine in the darkness, I didn't want to go. I didn't want to go there. Now I'm feeling bad. I'm feeling convicted. I'm feeling like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do that. I'm sure many of us have had that situation. I'm sure many of us have experienced that situation. And so I am sure many of us have experienced these dark hours, these storms. And so tonight's show, yes, I want you to know about renewable energy. Yes, I want you to understand in the natural how solar panels work and how they draw from the sunlight, S-U-N. Yes, I keep spelling, so I want you to understand we're talking about sun. One is sun in the natural, S-U-N, and one is sun of God, S-O-N. But I want you to see how you could apply that. Life, the things we deal with are applicable because everything is spiritual first and natural second. So when I talk about the solar energy and when I talk about the benefits of solar energy and when I talk about how solar energy works and why it's important, I want you to get a perception because we could understand things we could see. Because sometimes we don't understand what we don't see. We can't do what we can't see. So oftentimes a lot of us are walking around quoting the Bible and quoting scripture, but our lives are still, we're still failing because we're not getting it. We don't understand it. We can't do what we can't see. So when the Word of God tells us that we can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens us, we still walking around defeated. Why? Because we can't see that. It's just letters. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. It just becomes letters, and it has no power. It has no dunamis. And so we don't know, it's not rhema to us, it's letter. And so we don't know, it sounds good, and we got used to it, we've practiced saying these cute verses, these cute cliches, but we don't know how to convert them to energy. We don't know how to make these scriptures work for us. We don't know how to bring them, convert them into our lives. And so I'm trying to tell us that the way to convert energy from the sun is first and foremost, we have to be submissive. We have to open ourselves up, and we have to spend time in the sun. If these poles were kept in, if these light poles were kept in a warehouse all day, if they were kept in a warehouse all day, ooh, Jesus. If they were kept in a warehouse all day, and then all of a sudden it gets dark, and now all of a sudden they're being put outside in the streets and expected to work. What's going to happen? They're not going to work. They're not going to work. Why are you saying that, Coach D? I'm getting excited because guess what? Everything has its purpose and its place. Everything has its purpose and its place. Yes, we should be fellowshipping. Yes, there's a time that we should come together and fellowship. Actually, fellowship should be every day. Fellowship and commune with the Lord. Fellowship and commune with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We should be doing that every day. We're weak by ourselves. We're isolated. So when you got people talking about, I ain't going back to church because they told me my dress was too short. I ain't going back to church because they told me I can't wear this. I ain't never going back because the preacher took my money or he slept with my cousin's sister's mother. I ain't going back to church. I'm mad at them. We're not hurting nobody but ourselves when we get that mad and we don't want to fellowship. Because guess what? It's in the fellowship. It's in the communion, the community that helps build that hedge. Because now you have like-minded people praying for you as you pray for them. You got people that you should be able to go to and have standing agreement with you. stand in agreement with you for what you're believing in. When you're isolated and you're alone, that's the time that darkness has the chance to overtake you. It'll overtake you. In the word of God, in the gospel, every time he sent them out, he never sent them out alone. He never sent them out alone. Noah, why didn't you know Noah? You know, everything was twos. Now, in that case, it was for regenerating the earth, but still, when he built Adam, he could have just been cool with building Adam. I'm sure God knew what Eve was going to do. He could have said, yeah, you know what, I ain't going to put her out there because I'm already knowing what she's going to do. But I'm just saying, it was never meant for man to be alone, and I'm talking that in whether it's a marriage, a male and female, whether it's ministry, whether it's whatever. Humans were never made to be alone. So when we begin to isolate ourselves, even have you ever been in a relationship, a bad relationship? One of the first signs that psychiatrists and therapists and people tell you that the first sign of a bad relationship, whether that's a male and female relationship or cult, is they begin to isolate you from people, your family, your friends. You begin to be isolated. Why is that? Because I could do more damage to you. I could get inside your head. I could play mind games with you mentally and emotionally. And that's where it starts. Our war is in our minds. The enemy comes and he attacks our thoughts. And if he could begin to attack our thoughts, he's going to attack our actions. If he attacks our thoughts, he's going to attack our actions. Because our actions come from our thoughts. And that's where the war is. And so we don't have to be isolated. And I said all that to say this. Because I thought about the analogy with the poles in the, these are solar poles that need to be soaking in the sun, but they're sitting in a warehouse. And they're sitting in a warehouse. And while they're sitting in the warehouse, when they come out of that warehouse, because darkness has come, the storms of life has come, troubles have come, they don't know how to deal with it. They don't know how to deal with it because they haven't been in the presence of the sun. They're not full enough. They don't have enough renewable energy to convert to victorious triumphs. So they're overtaken by the cares of this world. Those warehouses could be churches. We got churches on every corner. For us to have, in America, for us to have churches on every corner, and some we got two in the same shopping center, but yet and still sickness, death, disease, drugs, and all this other stuff is around us. Why? Why? Because people been sitting in warehouses, and they ain't spending time with the sun. So they go sit in these warehouses an hour or two, one, two, three times a week. And then when life comes, and it will, and it attacks them, they have nothing to draw on. They have no renewable energy. They can't shine in the darkness. They can't be a light among darkness because why? They didn't spend enough time with the sun, S-O-N. They didn't spend enough time in worship. They didn't spend enough time in the word. They didn't spend enough time in prayer and praise. And because they didn't spend enough time in those things, they now don't have the renewable energy to shine bright in the darkness, to smile even when adversity is going through. They can't even think that with every great adversity is an equal or greater reward. They can't think positive. No, I can't think positive. I'm going through this right now. But had I had the words in me to speak over this situation, I don't know if many of you knew, but and you probably wouldn't because it's not something I would go around just sharing, but I just had a bout with pneumonia, and I was down for a couple of weeks with pneumonia. My right lung was just gone. It was having issues. And it still was painful. Because life is going to happen, and I'm not going to say it's not going to be painful. We're going to have the death of a loved one. We're going to have maybe sickness and disease and disorder. We're going to have some stuff that's going to hit us. And it's not going to say that the physical part of us won't be taken by that, won't feel, you know, pain of that. But what I'm saying is that because of the light in us, we should still be able to shine. We should still be able to have hope. There was a gentleman that was crying out to people for help. He was going through. His hope was gone. And as a result of him going through, his hope was gone, and nobody spoke hope into him, or he didn't receive this hope that was spoken to him, he decided to shoot an innocent man. Another one went into a classroom and shot up everybody, shot up his estranged wife, and as a result, a couple of the kids got shot. Why? Because his hope was gone. His renewable energy was gone, and he was a pastor. And only thing we'll sit up and do with our good Christian selves is want to talk about, ooh, he was a pastor. See, that's what I told you about. Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, that's what we do. And we don't even know that we one prayer, one scripture, one worship session away from pulling something crazy that's totally out of our character. We don't understand that we are just one notch. You know how you look at your cell phone, and your cell phone, when it's fully charged, the battery is fully charged, and it says, battery sufficiently charged. That tells us that this phone has several more, or however many more hours that it could function without auxiliary. But guess what? There comes a time, even with our cell phones, and these cell phones have become very important to the human race. You guys know it. Actually, I haven't seen a payphone in years. I'm sure they exist, but I haven't seen one. But these cell phones, some of us, if you like me, if I leave my house and realize I forgot my cell phone at home, I'm turning back around to get it. Why? Because I'm thinking, I might need this cell phone. What if I get a flat? What if this? And I come back and get it. And I'm saying to you, the worst case scenario is needing your cell phone, and you're in the middle of nowhere, and you hit that button, and you see that red mark right up there in the right corner that says low battery. You got 2%. Because when you see that, you know you're in trouble. You know that pretty much one potential phone call is going to cause your phone to go dead, and it will have no energy whatsoever. You will not be able to use this phone. And if you don't have a plug, forget having a plug, because if you have a plug and don't have power to plug that plug up in, this phone is null and void. It's not going to help you. So in other words, you can have a plug, but if you don't have a power source, church, fellowship, those are your plugs. Amen? But you better make sure those plugs are in the power source. And the power source is Jesus. The power source is Jesus. Everything else is just a plug. And if you have the plug and you don't have the power source, you are null and void. It's a wrap. It is a wrap. So on tonight, the things that I want you to know, and I'm going to open up the line for those who may have comments or questions, but what I want to tell you is, what I want you to know is that you have to, in order to get renewable energy, in order to shine in the night, in the dark places of life, you need to spend time in the sun, because it's in the sun that you become like a panel, and you're a mirror reflection, that your panel begins to reflect from the sun, and you need to be like the sun. The sun is supposed to be your power, and your sun is your source, and you need to allow yourself to be a reflection by spending time. You know, Jesus said, I only do what my Father does. I only do what I see my Father do. And that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to become such a reflection of Christ that we're only supposed to do what we see him do. And we're not perfect, and we know we're not perfect. But don't allow our inability to be perfect, don't allow that to be a crutch. Don't allow that to be a crutch. And we do that. But that, this is just me, you know. I ain't perfect. I'm just a human. Stop it. Because Christ, when he was here, could have said stuff like that. Well, you know, after all, I came out of Mary. I'm just a human. My feet bleed like yours. But he didn't. And we got to stop doing that. We got to stop being okay with, well, I'm just human. I ain't perfect. You know what? So what? I do this, 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 and this. Hey, I ain't, but I love God. He know my heart. That's a lie from the pits of hell. The only thing that's true about that is he do know your heart. He knows our heart. And he knows that there's no good thing in our heart. That's what he knows about our heart. And I'm not saying you got to be perfect. I'm not saying you won't blow it. But repentance is not supposed to be a revolving door. Repentance is not supposed to be a revolving door for us. It's not supposed to be something we practice doing. I got to practice repenting because I'm living a lifestyle of sin. If you live in a lifestyle of sin, your repentance is not repentance. It's not repentance. Am I preaching to the choir? I'm saying this to me. I'm saying it to you. I'm saying it to anybody that's struggling with certain lifestyles of sin. If you know those sins, you know those things that ain't right. We all know those things is not right that we're practicing. I'm not talking about the sin because you went into the grocery store and some lady in the line was being rude and she was being rude to you, and before you know it, you turn around and cussed her out, or you turn around and said something crazy to her. I'm not talking about instances where you say, "Ooh Lord, ooh Father, forgive me. Ooh Lord, I didn't mean that. Honey, I'm sorry." Or you know what? I repent. That's repentance. Turn away from that thing. But I'm talking about those things that we're saturated in, you know. And I don't want to start naming stuff because everybody got their thorn in the side. Everybody got that thing. And I'm saying to you tonight, look at that thing. Come face to face with it. Deal with it. Most of us don't want to deal with it because we don't want to change it. An alcoholic can't get help if they don't admit they're an alcoholic. A sex addict can't get help if they don't want to admit that they have an addiction to sex, or have an addiction to porno, or have an addiction to lying, or have an addiction to stealing, or have an addiction to the same sex, whatever those things are. If you don't acknowledge that, hey, I'm struggling in this area, Lord, I need help, then you can't get help. And most of us don't want to acknowledge it because we really don't want to stop doing that thing. Because why? It feels good. It tastes good. It smells good. Ooh, I can't stop doing this because then I'm going to stop getting my bills paid. You know what I'm talking about. We hold on to things that we know that God told us to let go of because we don't want to be alone. We want somebody to want us. Whatever those things are in our lives that's causing us to be not all that God's called us to be, that's causing us to miss the mark, that's causing us not to walk towards purpose, those are the areas in our lives that we got to take a look at. We got to address them. I'm not telling you you got to tell me what your problem is. Go to the sun. Soak in the sunlight. Soak in his presence. He'll begin to show you. You know the areas, but he'll begin to show you some stuff that you didn't even know you had an issue with. He'll begin to show you some maybe people that you were supposed to forgive that you didn't forgive. He'll begin to show you things that you did in your past that was out of order that you never even acknowledged or repented for. God will begin to show that. And most of us don't want to spend a time with God because we don't want to see the ugliness of ourselves. We don't want to see the ugliness in our hearts. So oftentimes we busy. I'm busy working. Ooh, I'm tired. Oh, I'm busy doing this. Oh, I'm busy taking care of the kids. Oh, I'm busy taking care of the husband. I'm busy doing ministry. I'm busy serving. And we're so busy doing all these things that we forget to spend time with the very source of our energy. We're so busy holding on to the plugs of life that we forget that these plugs are nothing unless we have a power source to plug them into. So I'm telling you on today, don't forget your power source. Don't forget to spend time in the sun. Soak up. Grab all that energy. Pull it in. Be a reflection of Christ so that energy could now convert. And you could become the light in the darkness. You could get through the storms of life. But not only would it make the storms of life and the darkness light up for you, but you become now a beacon to other people that's going through the storm. Now you could go back and you could say, come on, follow me, the spiritual Harriet Tubman's life. Follow me this way to Christ. Come on, this way to safety, this way to the other side. This way to victory. You don't have to stay there. Come on. Don't. Here, hope is over here. Come get your hope. You don't have to keep getting beat up by life. Come on. You don't have to get beat up by cancer. Come on, over here. There's healing over here. And then you can tell them, there's healing over here. Because remember, God said he sent his word to heal our disease, and we're healed by his stripes. And then that brings hope back. So now, even though I'm going through a dark period of time in my life, I can stand on that word. And it's not just letters. It's the spirit that gave it life. Because why? Because I spend time with the Son. My energy is renewed. And now, when I hear his word, it's life to me. Amen? It is life. It is life. And with life, you can live. Do you want to just exist or do you want to live? Do you want to just exist or do you want to live? Do you want life and life abundantly? Because that's what God said we're supposed to be here for. Stop sitting still. Stop sitting on the sidelines. Stop being just sitting waiting for Jesus to come. Some of us just sitting, barely breathing. Because all we try to do is get to heaven. I just want to get to heaven. I don't want to minister. I don't want to do this. I don't want to love on other people. I don't want to plug in. I just want to get to heaven. So they sitting and they living life that's not abundant. I don't want to live that kind of life. I don't want to sit on the sideline. I want to get in the game. And I want to live a life abundant. And everything that God promised me in his word, guess what? I want all of those promises. I want every one of those promises, but more importantly, I want to learn how to be obedient to the conditions of the promise. So when his word tells me in Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14, that if I hearken diligently, I want to be obedient to that. I want to hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord and all his commands. I want to follow them. So that blessings can overtake me, promises can overtake me. When he said that I'm going to be of good health, when he said my whole household is going to be saved, when he said that he'll give me the desires of my heart, I want all of that in this life because I can't do nothing with it in the afterlife. I can't do anything with it in the afterlife. And contrary to popular belief, whoever you was madly in love with, that was your boo, that was your soulmate, guess what? When you leave here, you won't even know that person like that. You won't even know them like that. It'll be a familiar spirit, but we'll be all one in Christ. And it won't be, oh, there go Jimmy up there, that's my husband. Or there go Lakeisha, that was my wife. Hey, boo, I'm here with you now, let's party in here. It ain't gonna be like that, I hate to tell you. That's not biblical. That's not the word of God. So I'm saying to you, what's here on the flesh, what's in this world of the flesh is of the flesh. And what's of the spirit is of the spirit. And that's why he said, don't be so concerned about what all the stuff you're trying to get here on earth. You better be concerned and storing up your treasures in heaven. You better be concerned and storing up for an afterlife, eternal life. Where you gonna spend that? So I know I got my preach on. I didn't mean to get preachy, but I really wanted you guys to get the renewal energy, the renewable energy. I really wanted you to get that. And I pray, my prayers is that word was rhema for you, that you got it, and that now you're rejuvenated, that you're energized, that you know how to take those plugs and plug them into the source so that you could get that energy to convert and be a blessing in the kingdom. Be kingdompreneurs and do what God's called you to do. Now, if you have any questions or comments and you've been listening in to the show, please dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a comment about tonight's show or a question, and I would love to hear from you. You know, oftentimes when you're doing Blog Talk Radio, because everything is virtual, you don't see your audience. You can't get the interaction of their face if they're getting it, if they're puzzled, if you lost them, you don't get that. So the only time sometimes you know that people got it or that they were blessed by the word is by them saying it. Ooh, that was a good word. I enjoyed that word, or whatever the case may be. And so, like I said, I pray and I'm just trusting God that those who listen in on tonight or those that will listen to the archive will truly, truly be blessed by the word on tonight, that it will renew your spirit, that you will be able to go out and do what he said that you could do and what he's called you to do, that blessings will overtake you as you line up to the conditions of God, you know, as you line up and hearken diligently and obey, that you'll begin to see these blessings overtake you. But more importantly, that you'll understand that the blessings is just a resource for you to do what he's called you to do. He ain't just blessing you just to bless you. He's blessing you for you to be a blessing to others. He's blessing you for you to be the blessing to others. And the good part about it is that as you're blessing others, he's blessing you, and you see the manifestation of those blessings because these desires of your heart begin to produce. You know, some of us are expecting a spouse, a covering, especially women. We're expecting our covering. Men, you're expecting your helpmeet, and you're believing God for that, and you're waiting diligently on that. But while you're waiting, you know, waiting is not waiting is a verb. Waiting is an action. And when you go to a restaurant, your waiter or your waitress, they're waiting on you. And it's an action word. We do have a caller, area code 951, last 38370. Welcome to Processing the Pain. Know that you are loved and appreciated, and you're live.
Well, thank you, Coach D. And, yes, this word tonight was right on time, the renewable energy. And I loved your the way you tied it all in together. You know, the touchstones of how renewable energy is and how does it affect us and how we can convert it into Bible principles and be able to use it and being connected. So I just wanted to give you a shout out with that.
Well, thank you, my sister. Oh, it's such a pleasure to have you joining us tonight. I feel like I haven't heard your voice in centuries, but I love you, and I'm glad that it was a blessing to you and you were able to tie it all in. So, again, thank you for listening in on tonight. I appreciate you.
Yes, and I appreciate you, too. Keep up the good work. Love you.
I love you, too. Thank you. So, again, if there's any other callers that have questions or comments about tonight's show, please dial 1 on your dial pad, and we will talk. We are coming towards the end of our show. And, again, if you missed any portions of tonight's broadcast, you can always find it in archives by simply going to www.blogtalkradio.com. /MCD Network, and it'll pull up the most recent shows. Tonight's show, of course, you just look for the date, April the 20th, and you look for Processing the Pain, and you'll be able to find tonight's broadcast. It normally takes about 30 minutes or so after the broadcast that you'll be able to pull the archive. If you're if you know me personally and you're on my personal page, you can always pull it up because I always post to my personal page. And I also post to the MCD Network page as well as the Processing the Pain page. So, again, I just want to thank you all for joining us on tonight. Remember, renewable energy, renew that energy so that you could be a light, a beacon light in darkness. That's what God desires of us. And also, I thank you for your continued support. Continue to support us every Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And then on Tuesdays for Woman to Woman at 7 p.m. also Pacific Standard Time. Also, an announcement, I want to make people aware that I am currently looking for people who are interested in getting airtime. If you are interested in that, on Mondays, I have 2 slots available. They're both 45-minute slots on Mondays. One slot is from 6 to 6:45 p.m. The other slot is from 7 to 7:45 p.m. on Mondays. Both of those time slots are open. If you're interested in that, please inbox me. I'll share the details with you. I am right now interviewing people for that for those slots. We're trying to bring more broadcasts to the MCD network, family of broadcasts. So, again, if that's something that you're interested in, I'll give you all the details about it, what's all entailed, what the requirements are. So, again, if you're interested, inbox me. If you know somebody that you think have a good skill, something that they could share that's going to that would be good, whether it's finances or health, please, again, feel free to share that information with them. Again, I appreciate you. Know that you are loved and appreciated. Until next Thursday, be blessed.